Hey everyone, I'm Maggie McGrath, a staff writer at Forbes magazine and your new host for a show called Forbes on Trump.
Politicians are all talk, no action.
I'll be speaking with the editors and writers who are reporting on the 45th president. We'll hear what they're finding out about his wealth, his business associates, and the ways in which he and his policies are affecting the economy, consumers, and all aspects of the business world.
Somebody has to come out and tell it like it is.
Along the way, we'll dive into Forbes archives, which contain decades of information that will add context to the current White House administration.
So listen to this. Listen to this.
That's Forbes on Trump on Podcast One.
Subscribe now at iTunes, and don't forget to rate, review, and share.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend.
Good times.
We will, yeah, man.
Sorry, that was an accident.
Yeah. It's all right. Dr. Drew over there, me over here. Oh. And let's see, man. Time. It's flying. You can see me tomorrow night on Spike. Adam Carolla, yeah. Friends Build Stuff Live. Having a good time over there.
I dig that show.
Oh, thanks.
By the way, let's get people to, if they want to come out, ask questions on live TV, go to CorollaQuestions@gmail.com. CorollaQuestions.
Yeah.
And I'm pushing that out there because I saw your KTLA hit.
You did.
Before last week's show. And thought it was a good hit.
Yeah, except for one problem.
Well, the problem made it attracts your eyes to the fucking thing.
Really?
Yes, because you were like, you were passion attracts, you know what I'm saying? And you were passionately unhappy with how that went, I could tell.
I am, we talked about on my podcast, so I'll try not to get too redundant, but okay. I have become almost obsessed with like two facets of life, which is people doing their job insanely poorly.
Yeah.
And also people not knowing what the fuck you're talking about when you're being pretty clear. That's a bigger thing, like just adults really not knowing what you mean when you're being pretty straight. And by the way, their interpretation of it, as I always say, would make you an insane person. Like once in a while they'll go,
yeah.
Your flight leaves at 10:30 p.m. Yeah. You want to leave for the airport at 11 p.m.? You go, no. But if that's what I was saying, that makes me an why would I want to leave after the flight takes off? And they go, I don't know. And you go, well, you need – part of your brain has to go, you thought it was 11, but maybe it's 9.
No, well, part of your brain should go, I must have misheard something I thought you said. What's the reality? Right? Wouldn't that be an okay thing?
I find that when something doesn't connect, like when it's physically, like when you're, look, if you're talking to Andy Dick, all bets are off. But when you're talking to me and I say something that sounds insane, you misheard it or you're misconstruing it somehow.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah. I have heard a lot of that. You want to talk to Nana? She's been dead for 3 years. No, I didn't say. I said, do you want a banana? Okay, because she's been dead. I know. I was at the funeral, remember?
Yeah, they have to go around a couple times with how crazy you are.
So she's not here.
Yeah.
Remember I presided over the casket?
But isn't that example of how emotions drive everything? Like, you shocked and amazed them, so their brain has to keep going, you shocked and amazed me, you shocked and amazed me, you're insane. I have to keep going there because that's how I'm feeling still.
I don't know, but I am fastly becoming obsessed with that. And all right, so I will I went and did the show Tuesday night, and then I had to get up really early and go out to KTLA on Wednesday morning. And I got there, and Sam Rubin wanted to know what the show was about, and I told him it was live, and we had these A-list celebrities, and anything could happen. And then they, at some point, now look, it's so funny because show business is a weird tapestry, Drew. It's this weird thing of way too much and then nothing, and then way too much and then nothing. Meaning, I can't tell you all the times or I've said to the stage manager and whomever, look, I had to do a radio junket this morning starting at 6 a.m. And during lunch, I'm just going to nap in my room. Now, come get me when you need me, but don't come get me before you. Just get me when you need me. When you.
When it's
conversation
time to go,
2,000 times.
How many years have we been. Adam, 20 years we've been having this conversation.
When you knock on the door.
Seriously, it's been. Yes. Remember these 20 years ago, right?
Remember to tell you the. Jenny Jones story.
Oh.
Yeah, that's an oldie but a goodie. You, Nick, you haven't even heard, and neither is Gary.
I forgot about that one.
So I said, listen to me. You know, I would always say, like, look, when you knock on my door and go, it's time to go, I won't be down on stage in 5 minutes. I will be down on stage in 41 seconds.
And ready to go.
Yeah. So just know that. And by the way, you really don't know how long 5 minutes is. I mean, we do a show that's live at 7 p.m. And I'll be sitting in my dressing room. It'll be 6:53, and I'm just sitting there because it's no use walking down and just standing there for a long Moody Blues song worth of time. You know, like they'll come get me at 4 minutes of, and I'll still be standing around.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of time. You learn it when you do radio.
Oh yeah, radio is the live sort of. School of live broadcasting, right?
Yeah, well, you know you have a commercial break. It's 5 minutes long. You got time to take a leak, smoke a cigarette, bang an intern, like whatever.
And you also have you develop a clock very quickly where you know when 4 minutes are up.
So, but TV's weird. So what TV will do and show business will do is you'll say, look, I'm just going to lay down in my dressing room, so just come get me when you need me. And okay.
That's an invitation.
You go lay down in your dressing room.
Get me when you need me is an invitation to be disappointed.
And then you'll get this one, which always drives me nuts. Like, yeah.
7 minutes.
No.
Oh, no.
I have this weird relationship where I yell at the door, but the sound like only goes one way. Like, I'll go. I swear to God, every dressing room is like, come in. Come in. Like, I'll go nuts, and then I'll go, come in, and I'll hear the guy go, door's locked. And I'll go, well, wait a minute, I just heard you through the door. Like, how did you not hear me screaming or whatever it is it's doing or whatever? I'll hear him through the door. Like, how come you didn't hear me come in? I was going the other way as loud as I could yell. All right, so at some point they come in, and they go, 10 minutes, so we need you on stage. Okay. Let me finish doing my Coke and building the ship in a bottle and composing this opus. And then I will be down when I'm finished. No, it's like I'm laying here. I'm going to get up and walk out. So don't give me the 10 minutes. But the one that pisses me off is they go, 10 minutes. They come down. They go, 10 minutes. You go, all right, just come get me when you need me. A half hour later, they come get you because they didn't have their shit together down there.
Of course.
So, but it's still like.
But you get me when you need me even after the 10-minute warning. Has to be followed with and I'm serious. When are you ready
when
for me?
When you're ready for me,
ready to
come
walk
get
out,
me.
Come
I will
get
come
me.
Down.
Otherwise, I do not want to hear from you. Then you'll be a half hour.
All right. So it is that kind of bizarre attention. Also, it's a kind of a thing. Look, TVs, God bless them, they want to keep their eyes on you all the time. Mm. And so what I do is like sometimes during a commercial break, I'll just walk from the stage and start going to get myself a water. And I'll go, whoa, where are you going?
God.
And I go, I'm just walking to get water. Oh, we'll get that. And I go, first off, I can't tolerate that. And then secondly, I want to walk.
Yeah.
I want to go for a walk.
Catch your breath. Yeah.
I want to just move around in the shadows a little bit here.
Totally
you know?
Get that.
Right. So everyone's good. Everyone's cool. But the thing that's weird is that is a whole bunch of information all the time. And then there's a version where you're going to go do KTLA and they're going to roll a clip. And not only do you not know what the clip is, you don't know they're showing a clip, even though you were just standing around in an empty green room with a publicist.
Yeah.
Now,
is it possible that was the producer of the television show getting a clip from somebody, not the publicist? Still, I'm not saying she shouldn't know, but you know what I mean?
Here's what I will say. Publicists do nothing. And when you do nothing long enough, you start living it. And then you just start showing up and doing nothing. And then at a certain point, you just become somebody who works for the city of L.A. at the airport, but no one really knows what you do. And that's just about you, you know, getting paid and hanging out, like, right? You don't see. When's the last time you saw anyone hustle who worked at an airport? You want to see somebody hustle? I'll show you a guy driving a UPS truck. That guy's in reverse going down an alley with like sparks coming out of both windows, both rear views scraping against the brick wall. Then he whips it around and you'll see him jogging to the front door. Like you see, like no time for doors on the truck.
Yeah.
I'm on the move. I'm wearing shorts in December. I'm on the move.
Yeah.
That's what UPS is.
Yeah.
Then you go to the airport, you go to the DMV, you go to the library, you go to any municipality, whatever, and starts grinding to a halt. Like, we tried calling Caltrans, and it was like calling the Quaalude Emporium. We don't... not only don't know, don't care, they don't give a shit. Like, they don't care who you are, what you're calling about. So anyway, the publicist...
Wait, before you tell the public story, let me talk about people that do care. That's TrueCar.
Oh,
that's right. If you're shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. So when you configure a price, you know it's for a car that's going to be there on the TrueCar certified dealer lot when you arrive. Some people configure cars on other online sort of sources and find out the car is no longer available or never was available.
No.
Not on that lot. TrueCar, it's real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual TrueCar certified dealer, a car on their lot. Over 3 million cars have been sold by the over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. On average, a TrueCar user can expect to save over $3,000 off MSRP, as well as discounts not available anywhere else. They have used cars as well as new. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar, learn about your car, see what others are paying in your area, and you'll get an actual price on a specific piece of inventory. You'll enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
So,
publicist.
You get the publicist. They're nice, but for your first impulse, like, oh, what are you doing here at 7:05? You know, and then the next thought is, oh, nothing. Just being here. Like, I was dispatched to say
I was here.
I was here. I have to go back and report that I was here. But they don't do any anything. Like, here's what we're going to be talking about. Or I talk to Sam Rubin. Or I talk to the producers. I pull the clip. They're going to run a clip
sometimes
in the middle.
Sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do. In this case, they didn't. And what they should be doing, as long as they set their alarm for 5:45, got up, put their face on, did their hair, and came out, is go, I talk to the producers. There's going to be a clip somewhere in the middle of the segment. It's about 30 seconds. It's going to be the clip of. So you can set it up. Or when they come back, you'll know what they're talking about or whatever it is. But there was nothing. And I just went out there. And so Sam Rubin said to me, so what's the show about? And I said, it's live. It's interactive. It's celebrities. It's craziness. Who knows? Wow. Who knows what could happen out
there? Live. It's live. It's live.
It's live. It's live. It's live. And we talked a little more. And then they ran the clip. You can show it, Gary, if you're queued up.
Is this the clip or the interview in the clip?
The interview and then the beginning part of the interview and then the clip.
Okay, here it is.
Here it is. All right.
But here's the thing. You have done construction on TV before. You've caught contractors.
Yes.
What's new about this one?
This show is live. It's 1 hour. It's Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live. And first week we had Jimmy Kimmel. Last night we had Adam Sandler. And the clock is ticking. So we have to, you know, most of these shows are sort of like cooking shows where they show you, here's how you make the lasagna. And then they slide out the finished product that doesn't look like anything you could ever make. And they go, here you go.
Right.
This is none of that. We got to bake the whole lasagna in 1 hour.
Well, from that to this, here's the Spike TV show. Watch this.
What are we looking to build today?
I'm repairing some dry rot.
How are we going to fix it? We're using treated lumber?
That's both water resistant and fire resistant.
This is me. Do you expect a fire?
I live in the foothills, so fire is a constant danger.
I drink a lot and fall asleep while I'm smoking, so fire's a pretty big issue for me, too.
This is a curious relationship.
I've been in college.
Engineering student. I'm at the hardware store talking to people.
Yeah.
Associations entering that field. What?
From 2 months ago.
You want to work with kids.
Oh my. I have an in-home daycare.
In-home daycare?
Yes. You are good.
Why can't people just erect a monument to me now? Why do I have to wait till I die?
There we go. So that's the setup to the actual build? Oh.
That is a clip from a field piece, which does not represent the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Great job, Spike. Fantastic job. The show is live in studio right. 1 hour.
Hey,
and
you, hold on. You guys are dumb. Do you marvel at this, Nick? Do you marvel at the stupidity? I mean, do you marvel at how big a fuck-ups everyone is? Like, do you... What I'm saying is, like, I don't want any, hey, I'm going to agree with the boss. Or, hey, with the boss, you're the boss. Come on, you got this expectation level. You want everyone to be A-plus and perfect. And if there's ever hair out of place, you got Mr. Perfection over here. He demands a lot of him. He demands a lot of his deodorant. He demands a lot of himself. He demands even more of his... He sets an unrealistic goal. See, because that's the rap, Drew. Yeah. The rap is, oh, I'm some kind of perfectionist who demands perfection from all of them above me. I feel like I demand like C-/63% from everyone, but that's a fucking F. Like, that's not even in the realm of expectations. If they showed a bad clip of me and Sandler, that it was all me and just a little bit of Sandler talk, I'd go, well, you pulled a bad clip. But pulling a man on the street bit shot in a January from show number one, as a representative clip of this show, is insanely negligent. Yes, that's a C-.
Well, I understand. I could get why they did it, but they sure.
What do you mean? You can get why they did it.
It's an appealing clip.
Hold on. Don't even give them half a percentage point.
Right. Hold on. That's all I was going to get.
There's a whole show with Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Sandler.
Listen, but it's unrepresentative of the show. That's my point.
I have a theory.
Well, according to your theory, they should have just pulled a clip of Green Acres. That was a funny show.
I have a theory that is the only thing that I can figure out is, didn't you at a certain point take control of that field piece and insist on editing it all yourself so it was funny?
Yes.
Maybe someone at Spike went, well, that thing
he's
is
love
100%
this.
Adam.
Yeah.
He did it. He likes it. I'm not saying it's smart. I'm just trying to figure out why
well, anyone
that's
what, would
that's
ever what I was,
do that.
That's me trying to figure it out, too, by saying, well, there's an appeal to it. Maybe they thought it was appealing.
I don't like your logic. This is about Adam being happy.
I understand.
They misguidedly thought that this would please you. It's stupid, but that's the only like.
I think you're giving them credit.
Thing.
I think you're
we're,
giving
we're
them
both
credit.
Giving them credit. By the way, yeah, we're both giving them credit.
They get zero credit.
But in either case, there should have been a conversation with you about, hey, you better tee up the fact that the show is about something else.
No! You couldn't have had that conversation with me because I would have went, "Hey, fucktards!
Yeah.
Don't show a field piece! No! We got Adam Sandler busting through a door of the golf club. Show that." When I walked off stage and I said to the publicist, what was that? Why didn't we show Sandler? She said, we couldn't turn it around fast enough.
Then why not Kimmel?
Well, at that point, I was officially defeated, Drew, and ready to go on with my 12 podcast day. But I honestly have no idea what couldn't turn it around fast enough means. It aired two times the night before and it's online.
We had our Corolla drinks after show and we go live immediately after your show ends, and we had clips of Adam Sandler in our after show that we played.
Don't piss him off. Relax.
Well,
don't poke the beast.
Well, it's the weird part is when I say, why no clips from last night's show, and you say we couldn't turn around fast enough, that says to me that you're lying?
Or lazy.
Or wildly incompetent? Yeah. Or like what?
That's your stupid liar thing again.
You just realize how fucking bad people are at their jobs in every job. And for some reason, I think people think show business is an exception. It is not.
However, I would argue.
Every show, is three smart people and 86 people that are bad at their job. And those three smart people keep everything going. Every time.
Yeah.
That's it. That every show I've been a production of, a part of, that's how it works.
You, right, Jimmy, and Daniel.
Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead.
You're dissing all your other writers. I would argue, though, that you saved the day and made it a great hit because it really the fact that you had a reaction made it an interesting interview. That's my point. That's why I brought it up.
It was all right. The Jenny Jones story.
Yes.
Drew, where are we going back to? 98, 97, 98?
Yeah, 98. Yeah, probably 98.
98.
Yeah, because we'd already been to Chicago a couple times, you and I, at that point. And we'd never, been anywhere. fired.
They wanted us to do Jenny Jones, and they wanted us to basically. I really do think Jenny Jones just wanted to take a couple episodes off. That's what it felt like to me.
Well, she wanted to. No, I think they were just. Well, yes, I guess you're right. But they were also co-opting us. They did it. They saw the thing was popular, and they went, "We're going to do Loveline. Let's do our own Loveline. Bring these guys in. Have them just do it."
Yeah, Loveline got really popular, and the popular way how it manifested itself is they just bring us in to do Loveline in their show.
Yeah, and they would call it Jenny Jones Loveline. Remember?
Yeah, sort of. I was so sleep deprived, and well, she. But all she did was throw us up on stage and for an hour just funnel calls to us.
Funnel sort of audience questions instead of...
Two shows.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what led me to believe she's tired of doing her show because she just sat there while we just did two shows. But we said... they said we had to work every night until midnight. And
radio.
Yes. And then we didn't get home until around 12:30, and then I just would never go to bed. 1:30 is about the earliest, about an hour after I got home is about the earliest I could get to bed. And if we were doing Jenny Jones, and we're supposed to be, I don't know, on the air at 3 o'clock Chicago time or 4 o'clock or whatever it was, the car would just pick you up at 5:30 a.m., and you'd go to LAX and take a 7:05 flight, maybe 5:15, and I'd go to bed at 1:30.
Oof.
And... Oh, you weren't much better. I mean, you'd make the rounds in the morning. So that was about it. And so I told these guys, I said, look, what do you want us to do? Well, you're going to host 2-hour-long shows.
Did they tell us that even? We really understand?
Maybe one.
It felt like we didn't know we were hosting until we walked out there and went,
we didn't know
shit.
How much we were doing. Yeah, but they wanted us to do something. Yeah. And maybe times 2 shows.
Yeah.
And I just said, I said, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to be running on fumes. So let's go. When we land in Chicago, let's go to the hotel. If I can check in and I can get a 25-minute...
That's my soda.
I get a 25-minute nap, I'll be good. I'll take a nap for 25 minutes. I'll take a shower. Boy, am I lucky... that I couldn't make, like, deals with the devil. Because if I could have made deals with the devil back then, and the devil said, I will give you 8 hours of blissful sleep once you land in Chicago, but it's going to take off 16 months of your life, I would have been like, done. I'm 34. Who cares?
Now that I have a feeling like we were taking off some of our life by what we were doing.
Let me just sleep in. So I said to him, I got to go to the hotel, and then I'm just going to lay there, and I'm going to take a shower, and then you just come get me right before the show. And then they're like, oh, no, hotel's way too out of the way. We'll never make it in time. And I was like,
I forgot about that part.
Yeah, and I'm like...
That was where we walked out.
Just drop me off at the hotel and just wait. Let me just close my eyes and take a shower.
And I'm not sure they went so far as lying about the distance as saying, we need you here, it just wouldn't work out. I'm not sure they were explicit
Don't give it away. But I said, look, give me the hotel. And they're the hotel is, they didn't say it's 18 miles away. Yeah. They just went, by the time we get to the hotel, and by the time we get you and get back to the studio, we'd never make it in time.
They said that.
So I was like, okay. But then luck had happened. Good grace and fate had smiled upon us, which is we were at the airport. At LAX, and back when they had, like, couriers who would, like, bring you your tickets and stuff, and they, like, met us with the tickets, and they were like, all right, we got you a couple of coach tickets to head to Chicago. And I was like, coach? And they're like, yeah, coach. And they were like, I said, you guys said you're getting us first-class tickets. And they're like, wow, we got coach. And I was like, okay. And I started to leave.
He didn't say anything. He just turned around. Goodbye.
I said, good. I'm going home. I'm going to bed. Like, I people have no idea how I'm wired. Drew does.
Which is,
you don't know how badly I don't want to go to Chicago and do these two shows for free.
I had to stand in front of 3,500 people at Oregon State with Adam. Just went home because there was fog.
Oh, Drew.
I'm not saying you could have made it up there. I'm just saying there was fog. I went on the earlier flight.
I don't know how many times.
You could have gone on the earlier flight with me.
I must.
How did I get up there?
You went on an earlier flight.
Yes.
All right. I got a flight, and they said your flight's canceled. It's fogged in, and you cannot land. You cannot take off. And there were no other flights going.
All right,
and I went home. And then Drew, from that day forth, was like, oh, you skipped out on the Oregon show. And I'm like, my flight was canceled, and they had no more flights that would go. I also missed a flight to an Indian casino when they stole my bag. But Mike August doesn't count that as me not going. They counted as airport security taking my bag and then the flight taking off from behind my chair.
Nice.
Awesome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Took it out of the airport.
Jesus.
Guy came up behind a wall of TVs at the Burbank Airport. Everybody sitting at a table watching the sports on the wall of TVs with their back turned.
This is that restaurant thing?
Yeah.
What?
My backpack was sitting 4 feet behind me on the ground. The cop came up behind me.
Oh, my God.
Grabbed the backpack. Didn't walk to the front and go, whose backpack is this? Looked at everyone's back, who was all turned toward the wall of TVs, and walked out of the airport with it.
Oh, my God.
Out of the airport. I had a $50,000 gig.
Oh.
Then, when they said, hey, it's time to board, everyone turned around and go, I said, where's my bag? Somebody stole my bag. And then I went, what happened to it? And then I talked to a security guy. I was like, oh, yeah, they took it. But it already been through security. It had already been through the x-ray.
Yeah.
I thought, what?
Weird.
Okay, so where is it? Oh, it's outside the airport. I said, it's not back in security? No, it's...
Bomb robots examining it now.
You got to go to the substation outside the airport. Okay, and then what? Then you go back through security again. Well, guess what? Fastest Southwest had 29 people. If they loaded up and left.
Oh.
50 grand.
Jesus.
Awesome. Thanks, Burbank Airport. Thank you, Rent-A-Cop.
Mike must have had a stroke.
He was having a stroke because he was on the plane going to a casino without me. It's awesome. All right. So, Jenny Jones.
Yeah.
Jenny Jones.
So it's way too tight a squeeze to get us to the studio and then on the air with a little swing by the radio station.
Yeah, and by the way, they ruined my day because as soon as they said, we have a coach ticket for you, I was like, all right, good, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And I started to go home and they, we'll get a first class. And I was like, ah, damn it.
Now, to be fair, it was me making a couple of calls. That's the part I get on you about. It's like, you can make a couple calls and we'll solve this problem. You're like, no, I'm going home. And I know you're going home. I know you want to go home. I get it.
I want to go home, and they had an opportunity to do something right.
I know.
So I don't give them any grace period. They tried to hoodwink us and bullshit us, and I don't care for that. So I want to go home anyway.
All right.
So then we showed up at Jenny Jones, and I was like, oh, God, I'm exhausted. I'm so exhausted. So they put us in this room, and I made myself a little bed. Out of my jacket and like suitcase and stuff underneath the table.
Yeah,
it's like a conference room.
And it was a makeup room, I think, wasn't it?
It had carpet and something. Yeah. It was a medium sized utility room, and I slept under the carpet. I tried to sleep under the table, every 5 minutes. Ms. Corolla, we need your initials on this. I'm like, just come after the show and I'll initial everything. I'll do it. Or when we're walking out, 10 minutes, Ms. Corolla, and hair and makeup in 10 minutes. Like, and I'm just like, geez, let me lay and close my eyes. And we went and did the show.
Wait. I think there was more to this, as I recall.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah. There's a couple of things. One other thing was, we were literally under the audience because it was a slope, if you remember, on the wall and ceiling.
Yeah.
And it's because it was the slope, the pitch of the audience chairs in the Jerry Springer studio.
Oh.
And the whole time we were trying to sleep, all we kept hearing was, Jerry. Remember that?
That sounds familiar.
And my other recollection is we were in that room for like 2.5 hours, being interrupted every 15 minutes.
We were in there a very long time.
Maybe more.
It seemed
like a very long time.
I wouldn't say more.
Because we kept going. Are we going?
I remember somewhere about an hour and a half in going, I think we could have went to the hotel. Like, I don't know how far across town it is, but I think we could have.
And so, if I know me, I would be like, no, there's no way, impossible. Any minute they're coming to get us. And, of course, they never came. I would say it was 2.5 hours.
It was a long time. Yeah. And then we did the show. And then we did a second show. And at a certain point, they released us, and we're walking out with like the page out on the streets of Chicago from the building. And we walk out onto the sidewalk, and I said, where's the car meeting us? And she said, oh, no car. And I said, well, how are we getting to the hotel? And she said, we're walking. It's across the street. She just pointed at the hotel across the street. And I went, God, I hate show business. I hate show business so much because when this got pitched to me 2 months ago, I went, where's the hotel?
Now,
please let me just check in and lay down and then come get me when you need me.
There's a piece of this that everyone needs to that you gentlemen would not recognize, which is that this entire operation became my fault now. I became the object of the misery because if it weren't for me, you wouldn't have done it sort of thing.
I don't recall
Number one,
that.
I recall that, number one. And number two, the monologue went on for about – let's see, that was about 3 in the afternoon – for about 3 days after that. It kept going. It kept going. It was all the way home and the next day.
I don't mind being victimized repeatedly. I mind calling it. In advance,
yeah.
Like where I go, here's what's going to happen, and here's what I don't want to happen.
And to be fair, I used to get in the way of you because I didn't trust it. I didn't trust the,
Drew.
I trusted the people that should have known better. That's the thing. You know, I went with the authority that run the operation, and they were screwing with us.
Well, the problem with Drew is Drew is so eager to please and uncomfortable that when the person, like I'd say, look, we'll go to the hotel, I'll lay down. You can come get me when, and the person would go, well, normally we have the people come straight to the venue. And then I'd go, I get it, but this is a unique circumstance. And Drew would go, well, we'll just do it how you normally do it. Like in the middle of my speech. And I'd go, God damn it, Drew, shut up. I'm trying to get this. If we could do it together, we could get to the hotel. But if you slide in and go, yeah, we'll just go from the airport to the venue, then it's another matter.
My fault.
Okay.
Therefore, it became the object of disdain.
Thank you. Well, you pay next time we go to dinner, once again.
Didn't I do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I owe you $999 more. I forgot.
I capped it at 1,000? That seems very magnanimous. All right. If you'd like a little cabbage with your stew, how about doing it right now, KABBAGE. Yeah, wondering how to get funding for your small business? Cabbage Man helps small business owners get flexible funding right away without headaches or a traditional loan. Apply online. Do it from your phone. Doesn't matter. No waiting in line, no scanning documents or tracking down financial statements. Only pay for the funds that you actually use. I like that. The Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses with $2.9 billion, Drew, in funding. So visit cabbage.com/Drew. Although now told by the spike people, just say slash. So here we go. cabbage.com/Drew. No cost to apply. And as an Adam and Drew listener, when you qualify for funding, you'll get $100 worth of Visa gift card. Not too shabby. How can you lose? Cabbage. That is KABBAGE.com/Drewski,
yeah,
everybody.
Slash, not forward slash, just slash Drew.
Slash Drew.
And just the forward slash is like saying www.cabbage. Like, okay.
Well, it's weird because I know we got rid of that and we got to the slash, but people would say, people told me to say forward slash a year ago, and now I guess it's just slash. All right. There's live shows, there's a Spike show, there's No Safe Spaces, me and Dennis Prager. Number 5 on iTunes Billboard charts, Billboard charts. So you can check that out and say hi to us and get that on iTunes, Amazon, and AdamCarolla.com. It's just $4.99. The movies, Lynette's over there, Corolla Drinks. Say hi to her. Drewski, what do you got?
DrDrew.com. Got me and Spaz, me and Bob Forrest. Check those out, people like them.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.